Competition has always been stiff among students who are applying to be accepted to their top college choice, and the condition has also affected the colleges and universities themselves. Some institutions of higher learning are feeling pressure to enroll more students, while others are moving toward being even more selective. In his new book, Who Gets In and Why: A Year Inside College Admissions, Jeffrey Salingo explores what the college admissions process looks like now. As part of that, he went inside the admissions offices at the University of Washington, Davidson College, and Emory University, and is with me to talk about what he discovered. Jeffrey, you didn't have a chance to put this in the book, but what kind of effect do you think the pandemic could have on the college admissions process?
I think some of the rules are going to change, but I kind of liken this to what's happening in sports right now. We're still playing these games on the same field. Some of the rules have changed, and the same thing in admissions. The playing field for admissions won't change drastically, but some of the rules, biggest one being many schools have gone test optional, meaning students don't have to submit an SAT or ACT score because they can't take the test during the pandemic. Those are some of the rules that are going to change this year.
How competitive is this among, on one side, students, and on the other side, the universities?
Well, I think what's happening, and we see this really in early decision. So early decision is where applicants apply to college early November, usually around November 1st, and they get a decision in December. And when they get that decision, if it's an acceptance, it's a binding decision to go there. Schools love this because it locks in a big portion of their class early. I think that schools are going to double down on early decision this year, especially those schools that get a lot of early decision applicants, because it's unclear what the spring is going to hold in terms of the pandemic. And so they want to lock up as much of their class as possible. So that's on one side, but on the other side of the desk, you have the students who are going to school part-time right now, they're hybrid, they're not in school, they're not talking to their counselors, they can't get to campuses to even look at them because campus tours are closed down, and colleges are asking them to apply early, and they don't want to. So we're seeing this divide right now between students who are telling colleges, hey, wait a second, slow down, and colleges who say, no, we need to speed up and get this class locked in as soon as possible.
Without testing being as much of a factor, what are the main factors then if we look at it? Are we looking for how much does legacy play into it? How much does the idea of having a more diverse class? And are you seeing dramatic changes in that over the past few years?
Students and parents have always been more in love with the ACT and the SAT than colleges have been. Okay. Indeed, even in a regular year, most colleges looked at a high school curriculum, meaning the transcript that the students sent in. They looked at the classes they took and the grades they got in them. And then only then was the SAT score even considered, because they wanted to kind of check something on the resume or on the transcript. Maybe the grade wasn't the grade that they were hoping for the admissions officer. And so they would look at the SAT score or the ACT score at that point. So at the end of the day, I'm not quite sure that this is as dramatic of a change as parents and students are making it out to be, because I know they're very anxious that they can't take the test, because admissions officers always saw a test score as one of many pieces of data that they were looking at and trying to decide who would get in.
How did you decide which universities and what sort of category they fit when you're putting together the book?
So I kind of laugh at that question because I approached 24 universities okay. when I was first starting this project a couple of years ago, and 3 said yes. So in some ways, the process of picking these universities is almost as random as the process of picking students, because University of Washington, Davidson College in North Carolina, and Emory University in Atlanta were the only 3 that said yes.
Wow. Okay. So what did you find about the differences? I mean, because obviously think of University of Washington as an enormous state school. Did you find dramatic differences because of what categories they were in, or just was it sort of random?
It was sort of random. I think that every college operates its system of reading applications and judging applicants and scoring applicants very different. And in many ways, the more selective the college, the more higher ranked it is, the more ambiguous the process is. And so that's what I found, is that there was no rhyme or reason for why they decided to have the process that they had. But it's almost impossible to say that we have an admissions system. It is a loose confederation of institutions that all have different ways of picking their student body.
And where does this recent scandal involving some celebrity actors sort of fit into this process?
Well, it was interesting to me that I was in the middle of the process. I was embedded in these 3 universities during the time when Varsity Blues broke. And one of the things that I noticed while inside these offices is that admissions officers aren't detectives. They're not going to try to figure out something you don't tell them. They're not going to Google something or look at your social media profile to decide, do you really play that sport? They have so much work to do in a short amount of time. They really have to trust what students are give them. And in response to the scandal, many colleges have maybe upped a little bit of their scrutiny of athletes in particular, but they haven't changed as much as we probably hoped they would have.
How much does projection go into admissions offices when they decide what students they want to have enrolling at the school? How much of it is, okay, we're sort of seeing maybe you were an overachiever in high school, maybe you'll continue that way. Maybe you're someone who hasn't quite tapped your potential yet. Is there that much thoughtfulness to this?
Yeah, there is. I mean, they're much more going to look toward the latter student. They really want to see students who are growing and have room to still grow in college. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for those students who have a lot of potential, and that when they get to college, that potential just flourishes, rather than those students who feel like, I've done it all, I know what I'm doing, I've achieved everything I wanted to achieve, and I just want to go to college to get a piece of paper. They're much less likely to enroll and to admit those students.
And Jeff, in an era where there's competition to get into the best preschool, do students, by the time they're high school juniors and seniors, is there sort of a freaking out aspect of it, thinking that I better get into this school or else the rest of my life is hosed in some way? Or are they able to look at it in a broader swath than that?
I wish they looked at it in a broader swath. I think too many students look at a small selection of schools. They think there are only 10 or 15 schools out there when there are hundreds of really good schools where they're going to succeed and it will be somewhat easy to get into. And the other thing is that college is a staging ground. Yes, college is a staging ground for the rest of life, but it's one of many moments in your life where you're going to try to decide what to do next. It's not the only one, and it's certainly not the last one. And I think students need to remember that this is not a decision that's going to decide the rest of your life. There will be many more decisions after this.
That is Jeffrey Selingo. His new book is called Who Gets In and Why? A Year Inside College Admissions. Jeffrey, thanks so much for the time today. Good luck.
It was great to be here. Thank you very much.